Welcome to the Twins Tale Podcast. I am Natalie Diaz, your host. I'm also the founder of Twiniversity and the author of What to Do When You're Having Two. You know what, guys? In the past 10 years of being a twin parenting professional, I have met such extraordinary families. And the one thing that I have learned is that we could learn something from every single one of them. And that's what this podcast is about. We're going to meet families from all over the country in different stages of their twin parenting journey, and we're going to get an insider's look on what time their kids are going to bed, how do they deal with sibling rivalry, what is their biggest success to date. I can't wait for you to meet these amazing families. Guys, welcome to Twins Tale. Zoe strollers, they have really innovative products for twins. Once again, that's a totally made-up jingle made up by yours truly, Natalie Diaz. Please note that I even did the full-on hand motions, rising up to the sky while singing, Zoe strollers. That's what you do. Like, I get really into it. Today's Twin Tale podcast is actually brought to us by our podcast partner, Zoe. Guys, if you're a twin parent by now, you got to know who Zoe is. I mean, at this point, I hope you weren't living under a rock because that could not be comfortable and it is probably not good for your back. But Zoe is well known in the twin world for their innovative strollers. But did you know that they also make a fantastic high chair? What, Nat? They do? Yes, they do. It's actually true. They make a fold-away high chair, and it is the skinniest fold-away high chair ever. You gotta literally go check it out. You gotta see it with your own eyes to believe it. It has all the comforts of luxe wipeable fabric, comfy, easy, extra cushiony seats from head to toe, and it tucks away easily. What twin parent doesn't love that? Who doesn't want to fold up a high chair at the end of the day and tuck it away, put their twinnies in, and just pretend that there is some peace in their house? Guys, you got to check this out too. It's got a removable tray for easy cleaning. Mealtime really can't get any more convenient. And to learn more about the foldaway high chair, go to zoestrollers.com. You are gonna love it. Zoe strollers. Check out their high chairs while you're there. On today's Twin Tale, we are speaking with Erin Hall. She is a mama of 7-month-old boys. Hashtag boy mom. She is residing on the West Coast in North Hollywood, and we are going to take a little glimpse into her daily routine. I love it because we're really going to kind of like seriously dive in. She's going to give us times and everything, what her schedule looks like, teaching the boys to swim. I love that. I want to swim too, Erin. It was just a really, really fun time talking to Erin about her little boys. So let's meet Erin and let's get down to business. Well, hello there, Miss Erin.
Hello.
Yay. Thank you for taking a break from the babies and for playing with us. I hope it's a welcome break.
It's a very welcome break. It was an amazing excuse to make my husband get out of bed early enough today to, like, take the kids for an hour or so.
Oh, so now we have fraternal twin boys who are now 7 months old.
Yep.
And how was, like, I want to know a little bit of into the window of their of your pregnancy and delivery. How early were they? How was your pregnancy? Give us all the scoop, Erin.
It was actually... I say it's a calm pregnancy. It probably wasn't when somebody else hears it. We were surprised to even get pregnant because we had been trying for 3.5 years and we had started looking into fertility treatments when I found out I was pregnant. And then I had had a pre-appointment set up with a doctor to start getting my body ready for fertility treatments. And that's when she just did an ultrasound. She was like, we might as well take a look. And we found out there were two.
Oh, my gosh.
And we just couldn't. We just like, I have no idea. I have no idea how this even happened. So we've got twins and everything was very smooth. Definitely, I was high risk going into it because of my cystic fibrosis. Uh-huh. And we had extra appointments all the way through. And then at 20 weeks, they found that I was showing signs of preterm labor. My cervix had started to shorten already, so they did an emergency cerclage. Mm-hmm. And then I was on bed rest, strict bed rest, from 20 weeks all the way until the boys came along at 34 weeks.
Wow. That was mm-hmm. some cerclage there. Good job, Doc.
Yeah, he did great.
That's great.
He was so nervous the whole time. I think that I was maybe his most stressful patient because he just kept being like, I don't know if it's going to hold. Yeah. And every week he'd be like, how are you feeling? Like, I think they're still there. I think they're not showing any signs of moving.
Yeah.
And then at 34 weeks, I woke up and I had an appointment already scheduled that day. It was like, my belly's doing something different today. I think this is it. And I live in LA, and you know, traffic is like the worst thing. And so going into this pregnancy, we were like, you know what I don't want to do? I do not want to have to drive down the 405 freeway at 8 a.m. on a Friday morning during rush hour traffic. And you know what I realized? That I'm in labor and we need to rush to the hospital? It was like 7:30 a.m. on a Friday morning.
So it took you two, 3 hours. to get there. You drove on the shoulder.
We drove on the shoulder. My husband's yelling out the window. Now, luckily, he was able to pull off like a 45-minute drive to the hospital.
Oh,
and
that's tough.
I had no idea how far into labor I was at that point. And, you know, I'm on the phone with my mom telling her, hey, I think the boys are coming. She's like, how far apart are contractions? I'm like, I don't know. I can't really tell when one ends and then the next one starts. We get to the hospital and the nurse is like, yeah, your contractions are about 30 seconds apart.
Erin.
Oh my God.
That was it. You could have had the babies on the highway.
Yeah, I could have.
Oh, luckily, that would have been a fun news story.
I know. It would have probably saved insurance a lot of money.
So when you get there, do they take you into the OR, right? You deliver in an OR, I imagine.
Actually, I did deliver in an OR, but they held off for 4 days. They gave me different medication and they tried to make them hold off for 4 days. They wanted 48 hours of magnesium and 2 rounds of steroid shots.
Yes.
And so as long as my body held out and they were able to get the contractions down to 7 minutes apart. So I rolled with 7 minutes apart for 4 days.
Yikes. Yeah. Okay. So the Gorilla Glue of cerclage took effect. You made it. So did you make it to 34 weeks, 4 days?
I made it to 34.3.
Okay.
Basically.
That's great.
I was like 33 and 6 when I went into labor.
My gosh. Okay. 34.3. How big were our boys?
Baby A was 4 pounds, 4 ounces.
Aw.
And baby B was 3 pounds, 9 ounces.
Aww.
And they came out pink and screaming and both got an Apgar score of a 9.
God bless them.
Even being super tiny, I got to see both of them. We got to take pictures with them.
Good.
We did do a C-section to get them out because A, the cerclage, and B, we just wanted it planned and on the table, and we knew what was happening. And again, because of the cystic fibrosis, that way they could monitor a lot more. And they got to be wheeled down to the NICU together. Like, they were both healthy enough that they could put them in the same little thing and cart them down together. That made me so happy.
Yay, you know, they could be together. So, look, you've had a little bit of a wild ride. That is pretty tame. In the universe of twins, I think that's good.
It is.
The cerclage is the best. I love when they work. That's always the best thing. So you never really
know
with them.
I did have one wild card during the delivery, though, that I didn't realize was a thing. We get to the end of all of it, and the boys are good, and we're happy, and, you know, and my doctor then leans over the thing, and he's like, can we get a general surgeon in here?
What?
And I'm like, what? And he's not talking to me. He's talking to the nurse behind me. And I'm like, excuse me, can you tell me what's up? I'm awake. So, and he was like, your appendix looks weird.
No.
I was like, what?
A surprise appendectomy.
So surprise your appendectomy C-section. In the middle of my C-section. Yep. Yeah.
Holy smoke. That's my favorite part about C-sections. And I talk about this in class a lot because I always give like, you know, partners a heads up. Like, hey, they might be prying around in there a minute because like it, you can't, no MRI in the universe could literally show you what you could show if you're like in. So right. I love surprise. I hope it was a free surprise appendectomy. I'm sure the surgeon had his own bill, but he was already there. So you don't have to pay two operating room costs. That's great. Right. I'm glad that's out. And then you didn't know that it was something because that could have really flared up in like a week. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank goodness.
Exactly. But, you know, nobody really has their appendectomy while they're awake on their table and their husband's sitting there showing them pictures of their babies. So,
surprise. You should have taken a picture of your appendix once it was out and it'd be like, that was my triplet. And now it's my outside appendectomy. Oh, my gosh. That's so crazy. Okay. So now you've had some bumps and now there's 7 months and I want to get into the meat and potatoes of what life is like right now. So let's begin the day in the morning. Let's pretend that the last night went perfectly and you wake up, the birds are chirping, you know, the little birds fly in the window with your robe. They put it over your shoulders because that's what I imagine happens in Hollywood because it is magical over there. So once the birds dress you, and have made you a full breakfast. What happens with the 20s? How does your morning start?
So their morning starts that they, right now they're in their own room, in their own cribs. And so one of them usually ends up in our room at night, but we can get to that later. So I bring him in and they end up playing in one crib together for about 15 minutes while I make their bottles and get everything going, make myself the coffee that the little birds didn't make because they always forget the coffee. And then we do kind of diaper changes and they eat. At this point, they're holding their own bottles, which was the most magical thing ever. I just don't even remember what it was like to have to hold two bottles all the way through. So they do that. And then afterwards, it's kind of playtime for about an hour or so. They love to be in their room, and right now they're into touching all the things that aren't toys. So, you know, the room used to be filled with toys, but right now it's like they want to touch all the baskets that have their clothes, and they want to pull all the diapers out of the diaper holder. So we do that for about an hour, and then they have breakfast around 8:30, depending. Right now they're waking up anywhere between 6 and 7. So if it's closer to the 6 side, then breakfast happens at 8.
Okay.
It's closer to the 7 side, breakfast happens kind of at 8:39.
Okay.
We're in a mix of like baby-led weaning food / purees / whatever I kind of have. you know, some mornings I make them pancakes. Like I'll make a huge batch of pancakes and just reheat them over the week.
Mm-hmm.
Or frozen waffles with peanut butter, eggs, or they just have some pureed fruit, if that's what I've got.
I like that. That's perfect. Riddle me this, Erin. Why are they in their own rooms? What was the reason? And not that it's wrong, by the way, so don't. I'm just always curious to know. Like, did you just, were like, hey, we have the rooms, so let's give them their own rooms. Like, what was your thinking about giving them their own room from, you know, at this age?
Well, so they share a room. Okay. But they're not in our room anymore.
Okay. And the reason, so they're in two cribs in one room. Okay.
In one room. All right.
For some reason, I thought that they were literally in their own rooms. And I was like, how big is your house, Erin, that the babies have their own rooms and their own butlers is what that. Okay. I feel better. Never mind. Scratch that whole thing. Go back to pureed fruits. I feel better. Okay. And I hope that I wasn't the only one confused by that. And that there's a listener saying, thank you.
If they had their own rooms, they would be in their own, but that's just a whole nother sleeping thing at this point.
So they're in their own, they're in their own cribs, in a separate room.
In their room.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Yeah. So we do food and then around 9, they take a nap and luckily they are solid nappers. And this 9 a.m. nap is like the one that we know overlaps together. And we get a solid hour to an hour and a half every day.
Now, what are they doing after breakfast? How do you keep them busy till nap time?
They go straight to nap after food.
Oh, really?
They eat. They sort of sit at their tables until they're finished. And then they kind of, we drink a little bit of water to make sure everything's washed down. Give them about 10 minutes to just sit there and kind of make sure their mouths are empty. And then they both, like, are just ready. They're like, ooh, okay.
That's awesome.
And so they yell pretty quickly. And then we, it's so nice. I don't know how we did this. But they yell once, we pick them up, I cuddle them for 30 seconds, and then I can, like, toss him into the crib. There's no, like, gentle setting. I mean, I don't really toss him. But I'm just saying there's no, like, putting a, you know, a live grenade into the bed type situation. I can literally just cuddle him for 30 seconds and lay him down, and he gets himself comfortable and he goes to sleep, and the other one is pretty close to that, too.
Wow. Okay, good.
Yeah.
So our naps last for about an hour and a half. Okay, beautiful. And then we get up, and what do we do next?
Their next feed, their next bottle happens at 11, same time every day. And so if they get up before 11, they play. We just sort of play out in the living room, or we'll play outside, or, you know, wherever we kind of end up around the house. And then bottle happens at 11. That bottle, we also are having constipation issues, so they are getting 2 ounces of prune juice.
Okay.
And before, that bottle is about 5 ounces of formula.
Okay. Are you mixing the formula with the prune juice, or they're getting literal separate bottles? Thank God.
Literal separate bottles.
Creamy prune juice does not sound the most appetizing, but kids eat weird things, so I never really know.
They drink prune juice and then they drink warm formula milk after that. And I'm like, that just doesn't sound fantastic
either.
But
it's not even like raising a flag to them. They're just like, sure, I'll have some prune juice. That sounds great.
Yeah. These are my little old men. That's what I keep calling them. Here you go. Here's your prune juice, my little old men.
So they have their prune juice cocktail followed by a milk chaser. And then what? And so now, what bottles are you using? What level nipple have you moved from a level 1 to a level 2? Are you using a different bottle for the prune juice? Exactly, what is the contraption that you're using?
So we've got Advent bottles. We've loved those. They did great. We tried everything, I feel like, in the beginning, and just, we didn't get any, there wasn't any gas relief with any of it. And I was like, you know what? I'm not cleaning all these parts like Dr. Brown's and all the other ones if I'm not getting anything from it. So we've moved to the Advent. They all have now been on size 2 nipples since they were probably 3 months old.
Okay.
Baby A was getting frustrated that it wasn't coming out fast enough. So we moved them to size 2. I think that's on time. Around 3 months was when we moved that. And then we've got some larger ones and some smaller ones. So the prune juice goes in like one of those 4 ounce bottles, the little ones that we had when they were really little. And then the rest of it, we've got we've got 8 different 9 ounce Advent bottles. And that seems to get us through the day.
Okay. And then how many ounces of milk are they drinking now?
So they get 7.5 ounces at the morning feed at their first one, and then 5 ounces at the 11 o'clock feed, 6.5 ounces at their next feed, and then they get another 7.5 ounces before bed.
That is all over the place. So that's good. You're saving literally to the drop, which is great.
Yeah. It's taken a little bit of time to figure out how much for each feed, but now that we're here, like, formula's not cheap.
Why waste an ounce? It's true.
Why waste an ounce? And with two, you're not, you put that extra 1/2 ounce in 2 bottles, that's an ounce. Yep. And you do that over 4 feeds, that's like over 1/2 a feed.
Yeah.
By the time you get to the end of the day.
Are you making the formula ahead of time in like a pitcher, or are you just scooping it in bottle per bottle?
Yeah, we start the day with making a pitcher. Actually, we started doing it. It's at night. We make a huge pitcher before bed and then prep their morning bottles.
Okay.
And then we have a pitcher to get us all the way through until 3 o'clock. And by 3 o'clock, we're finally like awake and human beings. And we feel like we have the energy to make another pitcher.
All right. That's perfect. Yeah. So after that bottle, the 11 o'clock bottle, what's our next activity?
We have more playtime. We will usually end up outside by that point. We've got a nice little play area set up outside for them that's gated and all padded, and they have their separate outside toys, and we've got couple different jumpers for them to get into and sound tables, and they kind of can just play with whatever they want to play with. We try to do no containment, baby containment stuff for their first play session so that we can get a solid hour to an hour and a half to start their day mm-hmm. of just rolling around on the floor and touching stuff and moving. And we try to do this one about half and half. They love the jumpers, but we also try to only leave them in there for 20 to 30 minutes max if they're really having a good time.
Yeah.
Just because they're at that stage where they need to start learning to crawl and yeah. they need to start learning to move their bodies. They roll really well and they can get over the whole mat, but we definitely give them what they want, but then are also like, all right, you've had enough of that, time to roll around. So we do some outside time at that point. It's also, we have a swimming pool, so it's also that time of the day that's really nice to get them into the swimming pool.
Beautiful.
We are working on, you know, holding our breath, dunking underwater, floating on our backs. We're also currently, like, I will sit them on the edge of the pool and let them fall in and then flip them over underneath so that mm-hmm. that way, if they do fall in, it's not like a super scary experience. Yeah. I don't want them to be afraid of the pool.
Yeah. That's tough. So, that's a whole new yeah. thing, but it's gated and stuff, right? It has to be.
Yeah.
Is it, I don't know what the law is over there in California. I know here we have to have a gate so that, God forbid, the babies fall in. But I think it's smart that you're introducing them to water safety at mm-hmm. this age. Did you grow up with a pool?
I had a pool starting when I was about 12 years old, I think. Yeah. I had one when I was really little before I even remembered. My parents had one at the house. And then most of my childhood I had one.
It's scary. I mean, if you didn't grow up with one and then all of a sudden you have one in your house. I do. I love me some water, man. I do. And my twins loved the water. It was always such a great, you know, way to kind of give them that run of energy. They could run it out. But for mm-hmm. us, we always had to have like an in-law, somebody. I was like, pick a baby. Which one do you want? That's that. Oh, I love that. I love that they have pool time. That's so great. Well, you have the weather. So how could you not take advantage of that? You really got to do that. So now after their fancy pool time, and what is it, time for another nap?
We do lunch around 12:30. You know, and again, when I say like these solid food feeds, it's just them getting mm-hmm. something different. We've been working our way through the allergy foods, more or less, peanut butter, strawberries, eggs, just getting them used to that, getting them used to picking up food and tasting stuff. And so lunchtime is a lot of times like toast with butter, or they love the baby wafer crackers. Those are big ones. So we have those for lunch. Get some fruit in there, get some veggies in there. I've got purees or like the, you know, mushy carrots mm-hmm. and sweet potato, kind of whatever. And I just sort of put it out for them and they get to eat what they eat and play with what they play with. And then we have dogs, so then they throw food on the floor for the dogs. That's like 12:30 lunchtime. And then right after that's nap. They kind of have gotten this routine of like, we eat food at our chair, we hang out for 10 or 15 minutes afterwards, and then we go to sleep.
I love this life. Yeah. I want that life.
The schedule is so key.
I
just want somebody else to make me food and then I can go to sleep right afterwards.
This is beautiful. Yeah. I love the schedule that you have them on. Do you think that our wonderful quarantine situation has helped you get them more regulated with the schedule?
Yeah, it definitely has. I've had the time, you know, I've had the time to sit there and watch them eat every day and to see how big a pieces I can give them of food. And do they like this or do they not like this? I'm not rushed like I would be if I was working or mm-hmm. if I had to go someplace. I have the time to let them sit for 30 minutes or 45 minutes and play with food if they want without worrying about it. And that's been really nice.
So fun. You know? See, there's silver linings to this whole thing. Yes, it's absolutely horrible that we have to stay home and it's scary. But when you get to have experiences like you have, I'm finding that the majority of our families have found more silver linings than not. which is great. Even for our pregnant mamas, they're like, hey, listen, you know what? This is kind of giving me time with my partner to really connect. I think it's great. And I love that you're having all those experiences with them. That's really great. Now, have you noticed that they're starting to interact with each other, or they really don't care? They're just like a bonus accessory to each other.
Oh, we are so in trouble. They're already wrestling over toys. You put one, you know, they're rolling all over the mat, and somebody has a toy and the other one wants it. He will steamroll his brother to get to it. And they love to sit at the table. We have a couple of those chairs that attach on to the table. We've got a center island, and that's just where I leave them in the kitchen. And they sit there and they put food on each other's plates, and they eat food off of each other's plates, and they throw food at each other, and they'll sit and they'll just, once they get their crackers, that's the part that's really funny, is they turn and look at each other and they watch each other eat their cracker. And if one finishes first, he'll look at his brother and see if his brother has any left. And he's like, hey, you want to share the rest of yours? I know I ate all mine, but you want to share it? Let's do this. I'll take some of that off your plate. They're very into each other.
Oh, that's so good. And God bless dogs. Let's take a moment and say thank you, Mother Nature and God, or whoever makes dogs. Thank you, because that is the best for your age babies to not have to, like, you still got to wipe the floor and make sure it's sanitary and stuff, but ultimately to not pick up crumbs. Oh, dogs are the best.
You know what? I also have to say, God bless mothers who do baby-led weaning without having dogs.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know how you do that. I have no idea.
Maybe that's why dogs were invented. Maybe they were an afterthought because vacuums didn't exist. I have to say, we had a dog at that time. I don't even know. Now we have a giant dog. We didn't have a dog for 10 years. It was horrible. It was a horrible 10 years. Oh. But we got our dog. We have a new jerk that lives in this house, and she's the best. She's like a dog compost is what she is. She eats everything that the kids don't eat. This poor dog is probably not going to have the longest life, because God only knows what the kids are feeding her. They literally, they give her things just to see if she'll eat them. So welcome to kids. You're going to have to enjoy that forever.
Well, right now, that is part of what we figure out when I feed them, is I'm like, wait, is this safe for dogs to eat? Okay, if it is, the kids can have it. I mean, I know that's probably not how most people judge whether they feed their babies certain food, but...
It's like onions and grapes is basically the only things that the dogs can't really have. Right, it's probably a small list, but then give it to the babies. It's fine.
Yeah.
Erin, I love it. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then I want to come back and I want to talk about what their room looks like for naps. So sit tight, guys. We will be right back. Are you having a tough time managing your 20s? Oh, we've all been there. But guess what? We are still here to help. You've got to check out the Twiniversity First Year with Twins resource. It is chock full of tips, tricks, information, and resources to help you navigate twin parenting through your twins' first birthday. Our tips come from our very own experienced twin parenting community at Twiniversity, and they are literally tips from around the world. These parents have been there, done that, and they are ready to share it with you. We got a great, great tip from a mom who has 8-week-old twinnies, and she says, if you feel like every day is like the movie Groundhog Day, and you're worried that it'll never get better, well, guess what? This week, you may notice that it starts getting better. Longer stretches between feedings will be a game changer, and your babies will soon interact more with you. Savor every single milestone, no matter how small, and write them down or you will forget them. So for more tips like this, whether you have 8-week-old twins or 50-week-old twins, go to twiniversity.com/firstyear. It's nap time. That was the quickest break ever. I know it always is, Erin. That's how, it's my favorite part. I like to make them brief because we're twin parents. That's how we do things. How do you set their room up? Is it different for nighttime sleep than it is for daytime sleep? Are they swaddled? Kind of how are we napping? Because we already had our morning nap, which was wonderful, but this is our like big afternoon nap now.
So I've got blackout curtains on their windows. They've got two windows in their room. And right now the weather is like the perfect weather. So I open their windows during the day. because then it's just the fresh air is nice and their diaper pail is in their bedroom. So let's air that. Let's air that out. I also have some of those, like the rattan curtains, mm-hmm. the kind of the wooden ones that so those stay closed during nap time, but the blackout curtains get opened up.
Okay.
And then they have this little elephant nightlight that during the nighttime it's red to give them like a really dark, you know, kind of just barely light, but mm-hmm. during the day it's blue. And so it's just sort of like a nice little comforting blue light. And the room stays pretty dark, even with the windows open and just those curtains. They're not swaddled and they just nap in whatever they're wearing that day.
Okay, good.
And so that first nap of the day, we leave them in pajamas. I don't actually really change them until about right before the 11 o'clock feed. And then, so for the rest of the day, their naps are just in regular clothes. Mm-hmm. I am realizing now, there were just some nights where, and even nap times, I would come in and I'm like, why is there dirt in your bed? What? Where were you? Where were you that there was dirt in your bed? And I realized it's not. It's toast from lunchtime.
Oh, I love it. It's toast dirt. The dogs didn't get that. Oh.
The dogs didn't get that. And so I'm like, now, you know, before I put him in bed, I kind of stand him up and shake him just a little bit,
just shake all the crumbs out. Yep. Love it. Love it. Love this idea. Yeah. So then you put them in and they sleep. Mm-hmm. They just sleep in their clothes. And how long is their afternoon nap?
So the afternoon nap usually happens around 1 to 1:30. They'll go down at some point and okay. they will sleep for about an hour, sometimes 2 hours. If the morning nap didn't go very long or they are really tired or they're just having one of those days, they mm-hmm. will sleep up to 2 hours.
Now, what if one wakes up before the other? How do you handle that?
That is like Mission Impossible. You sneak in, you put on all your black clothes, mm-hmm.
you belly crawl in.
Quiet, belly crawl so the other one doesn't notice. And then you like slowly slip a baby out over the edge of the crib and hope that nothing makes any noise. Yeah. Oh. We did set the room up. We do have one baby that he's a much lighter sleeper, but he always seems to sleep a little longer than the other one. And so we put the one who almost always wakes up. His crib is kind of right next to the door.
Okay.
So it's become easier to do that little like retraction mission every day.
Good. Are they using pacifiers?
One does. Okay. One, baby A loves his pacifier. He doesn't really use it during playtime. He kind of just uses it at nap times. Mm-hmm. Baby B loved it in the NICU, but just has zero interest now. Hmm. Like, I mean, he will, when they're in the crib in the morning together, baby A still has his pacifier clipped to him. Like, we use one that's not clipped while he's sleeping, and then in the morning while he's still waking up, I clip one back on. And baby B will take it, put it in his mouth, mess around with it, spit it out. Ah, this is gross. Why do you like this thing?
He's looking for the biscuit. That's yeah. what it is. He's like, let's replace this. So right. now we have a whole afternoon. Do you go for strolls with them? Are you wearing them? Are they in a stroller? How does it go after nap time?
After nap time, we'll take a walk around the neighborhood. There's a park just under a mile down the road. I'll head down there. I'll walk both the dogs with me at the same time. We've started venturing out now a little bit. Griffith Park is about 15 minutes from my house. Mm-hmm. So I'll pack them up and take them out there. And, you know, now that it's a little bit more acceptable to hang out, we'll take a blanket and they'll get like a different outdoor scenery. If I've got chores to do, one baby B loves to play on the ground by himself. So I might set him up somewhere. This is kind of key chore time. Is like that afternoon nap going into nighttime. That's mm-hmm. usually when they're in a really good mood and I can get a decent amount of stuff done. So baby A, I'll wear in a sling. He loves that. He's really into watching the day-to-day tasks. Uh-huh. He loves watching me wash the dishes. He loves watching me feed the dogs. He loves watching me fold laundry. So I will wear him in a sling while I do all this stuff so he can be very entertained while watching it.
Oh, that's good. That gives you plenty mm-hmm. of time. Oh, that's great. Yeah. You have a nice balance there. You're looking out there, Erin. I got to tell you, this sounds like a wonderful day. I'm excited. I'm relaxed. I want to go to the park. I want to roll around on a blanket. Have you given much thought about what you're going to do when they're super mobile?
So we have their play area outside is completely blocked off with an extra gate. Like we've got the gate around the pool, but then this one also has its own gate. Mm-hmm. And that's to keep them in and keep the dogs out if we don't want the dogs in there, because they, you know, one of them's a very big dog and he like is like, I'm going to lay here. I don't care if there's a baby here. I'm going to lay here. So so we've got that play area for them. They'll be able to hang out there. It's pretty decent size. Inside the house, we got a baby gate up on their door, on their bedroom. Mm-hmm. So their bedroom is a safe zone that they can go in there and play. And then we're looking into getting kind of one of those little like standalone plastic kind of gates that you can set up and move and collapse down. And so that creates a giant play area. So we'll have one of those for the living room too.
Oh, I love it. So they have plenty of options all over. Yeah. That's really great. Now, your whole day goes, they're playing, you get your chores done. Do you have a specific nighttime routine?
Yeah. At around, so they eat another, if I'm on my A game, which I'm not always on my A game, it's totally fine. If I'm on my A game, they will eat another solid food meal around 4:35. That consists of like leftovers from the night before if I can give it to them, or I don't know, sometimes they eat another round of baby crackers.
Whatever it is.
It happens. Whatever happens. And then they will they may or may not take another nap around 5. It just depends. It depends on how the day's gone. Sometimes somebody just needs a little 20-minute pop to just make it through. And that's usually baby B, but we really only limit it to about 20, 25 minutes. And that's kind of all that he wants to sleep. Anyway. Okay. It's not too much of a battle. Then around 6:30, we start bath time. We do a massive play session, my husband and I together with them right before this. So there's a lot of laughing and tickling and wrestling and throwing them in the air. And it's kind of how we use that time to undress them as well. So then we can give like raspberries on the belly and stuff like that going into bath, which happens around 6:30. Because my husband's been working from home, we've been able to tag team and each wash a baby. And they're currently, we've got a tub that fits in our kitchen sink that they still fit into.
Okay.
We've been using that just to sort of save our backs.
Yeah,
so we're not
definitely
bending over a bathtub. And then we each sort of take a baby and one has a skin issue. It's not terrible, but he just needs a little extra. So one's getting an oatmeal soap. The other one is his skin kind of gets all itchy when he uses the oatmeal soap. So we've got two separate. It's what happens. It's just who they are.
Oh, that's interesting. So so we're changing water. Like everything has to happen so we can't cross contaminate with our soapiness.
Yeah.
Okay. And so after bath time, so you have like your baby, you wash your baby, and then are you giving your baby another bottle and are you letting him feed himself, or you're like, I'm going to help a little bit with this one and we're going to snuggle? How does that go?
We snuggle. So we do bath. They get their lotion massage because they need lotion, and we get them all dressed, and whoever went first, which we take turns, they get to pick which of their sets of pajamas they want. So they get their choice going into bedtime. And then, they get 7.5 ounces right around 7:15. Mm-hmm. Baby B, he loves to hold his bottle, but they get cuddled. I don't have them on the floor feeding themselves. We're cuddling them. But baby B holds his bottle. If you try to hold it for him, he does not like that. Baby A throws his hands up in the air and is like, nope, I'm done for the day.
Aww.
You're going to hold this until I'm finished eating. So they get cuddled. And then while they eat, we read a book. So I'll pick out a book to start with for the night. And then I read mine to my baby and my husband reads his to his baby, whoever we've got that night. So they get their book and their bottle. And then by that time, they're usually pretty tired. We here and there have had like waves, basically. So they'll have a wave where for about 2 weeks straight, they'll go to sleep right after that bottle. That cuddling is just enough that you can see sleep in their eyes. You hold them up close for 30 seconds and then you can put them in their bed. But then we've had other waves where they have that bottle and then they are wide awake. And so we've just done another playtime.
Yeah.
You know,
so you just roll with it. So, you know, yeah. You never even know what's going to happen. You really are super chill. You're so good with the flow. It's so relaxing.
I like it. Oh, I don't need any extra battles. I'm doing too much all day. Oh, so gosh. Yeah. So if they want to play, they want to play. I mean, we have the television on for my husband and I, but they can't see it where they're at. Their play zone is like way down below the entertainment center. Okay. So they don't really have access to see it. And we keep the television sound off and we turn the subtitles on for us. So there's no like distraction noise for that, but we can kind of watch. They play with some of their toys quietly. Mm-hmm. Every so often somebody gets some crazy wave of energy and we put him in a jumper until he jumps himself to sleep. Okay. It's not always normal, but you know, it just, yeah, why fight it?
Yeah. If you have it, if you could do it, just do it. You're pivoting every single turn.
If this is what he wants, if tonight he wants to jump for 35 minutes straight until he goes to sleep, fine. You know what?
Go for it.
Fine.
Good luck to you.
You slept great. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. You have really, you're doing it right now. I'm telling you, you are doing really good. I want to live in the whole house. I'm moving in, man. I'm packing my bags. I'm going to get one of those sticks with a little thing at the end, and I'm going to hobo it to your coast because that sounds too good. The pool, too. You had me at the pool. I'm on my way. But what do you think your biggest challenge so far to date raising them? Because it sounds really good, but it's impossible to not have had bumps. Like, what would you say has been your biggest challenge thus far?
I think the biggest one has been nighttime sleep. So the daytime's super chill, schedule's fantastic, and they go to sleep really well. And the first half of the night is fantastic every single night. But the second half of the night has been really rough. One of the babies, he has done great with sleep training. Now he's like, cool, I understand what you want me to do. I'll stay in my crib all night. But baby A he doesn't like that. He wakes up around 1:30. And he wants to be in bed with us. He wants to be cuddled with me. He wants somebody to come put his pacifier back in, even though I know he can do it himself. He just cries out and wants to see you. And I think the hardest part has been, because they're in the same room, figuring out that how do we move forward with this? And he's been doing this since he was 3 months old. So it's not like a brand new thing. He's basically been doing it since we kind of moved them into their own room and I stopped sleeping in the room with them at that point. How do we teach this baby that he can't just yell and scream and we will come get him while also letting his brother sleep?
Yeah.
We've tried to cry it out a couple nights and he just cries. He just cries and cries and cries. And so, and his brother hates sleeping in our room. He wants his own bed. So, but we felt like when we swapped it, baby A was just like, oh yeah, this is exactly what I want.
Aww.
I want to be in bed with you. So he hasn't really learned how to sleep all the way through the night on his own. And I think right now we're just going with it.
Yeah.
And we're like, you know what? We're all getting sleep. If he wants to be in our room, you know, we'll let him be in our room for now. That's kind of just what he needs. But there were a lot of nights where we were trying to push through it, trying to do sleep training. And I was awake at 12:30 and 1:15 and 1:45 and 2:30. And then he might have slept for an hour.
It's the never-ending nights.
Yeah, those never-ending nights were definitely the most difficult. And like, do we stick with this hoping it works, or do we change and just break down and give him what he wants? That's been the most difficult, which is why if they were in their own rooms,
I could see
maybe it would be
now.
Different.
It, you know, it's probably the biggest challenge that most parents of twins have, is because you're like, what do we do? You know, do you risk one not losing sleep, or one losing sleep for the other one? So it is a huge challenge. I would say that's probably one of the most common challenges, which is good, but it's all on par. You know, they're still growing little people. They only learned how to breathe air, you know, 7 months ago, and they had no idea that dogs even existed. Look, they're just learning literally everything. Now, that definitely is a big challenge. And you've seen to literally have, I hope you count your blessings with all your successes that you've had, because you do, you have it down. But if you had to pick out like one moment that you could put the spotlight on, that you were like, this was it, what has been your biggest success to date?
I would say, like, I had, before quarantine, happened. I had my first coffee date after like 3.5 months of bed rest, bringing the boys home. We had help here. Like, our in-laws came until the boys were the 3.5, almost 4 months. I had my first coffee date with a friend, and the boys were 4.5 months old. And I was on my own from like the minute I woke up, because my husband was away at work. And oh my goodness, it was the most successful thing I think I have ever done. I got up, I got myself showered and dressed, I got the boys fed, I got them showered and dressed, we got in my car, and we made it to the coffee date on time.
That's great.
And it was the first time I'd left the house on my own with both of them and like went somewhere, and they were so good the whole time. One slept, one played, nobody cried. And I think I have never been more proud of myself.
That's a big deal. I mean, your first time out flying solo, it is. It's such an amazing accomplishment. Parents of twins in general, I feel like we feel like that is our Everest. Mm-hmm. Right. So just getting any place with two kids, especially if you have to go by car. So now there's like, now we need strollers and car seats. It's so much. I think that's a huge success. I love that. Yeah. Oh, and then remember going outside? Wasn't that fun? It was great.
Like, coffee dates. Sitting somewhere, someone else making my coffee for me.
Oh, so good. Because those birds, they've literally let you down every time in the morning. They never make that freaking coffee. The nerve. This has been so much fun. I love that you let us into your life for a little bit. I really do. I can't wait to see kind of what happens next. And I'm so excited for you. You're doing so well. I love that they're swimming, and you really have it together. And your whole demeanor is very relaxing. And so your dudes are going to do really well. If they even have a little hint of your personality, you have totally, you've crushed this parenting thing. You're doing really, really good.
Thank you.
It's so exciting.
We tried. We tried to just, during the whole pregnancy and go in, I think that's something that happens with twins, is I don't know. A lot of worries for me went off the table, because I can't breastfeed two babies. So that stress is gone. And there's just so much. There's so much that I was like, I can't worry about this, because I got so much more to worry about. So we've just chilled and rolled with it and listened to our two little dudes. And we're relaxing. We're trying the best to relax as much as we can.
You're doing it. Erin, thank you very, very much from the bottom of my heart for taking a minute to talk to me. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. I loved it.
Oh, it is entirely our pleasure as always. And guys, if you have any further questions for Erin, or you want to stalk her a little bit, feel free to email us at community@twiniversity.com, and we could hook you guys up, no problem. And don't forget, we are always here too for you. So if you're going through any particular parenting struggles with your twins, or you're curious to know how the other half lives, is what I say. I always love this podcast, because everybody wants to know if they're keeping up with the Joneses. And really, if you're trying to figure out why the heck we're doing this, it's because nobody's going to have the same story. There are no Joneses. You are your own Jones. This is just how everybody else lives. So I hope that you enjoy this, and you know where to find us at twiniversity.com. And if you need us anything, like I said, email me at community@twiniversity, or you could stalk us on social. Just drop us a DM, as the kids say. And we're literally on every freaking social platform under the sun, just at Twiniversity. So until next time, guys, see you later, alligators.